where we are honoring the Lord and just loving on each other and are thankful for all the great moisture we've been getting out here in this wonderful snowy community we have. I was looking at the report for the weather, and by Saturday it says in the 40s. I mean, I don't know. Can we handle that? Yeah, I think most of us can. I'll have to admit that below zero stuff was a little bit too soon. I'll give you that. So, but no, it's wonderful to be together here in the house of the Lord. Why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer and just invite His presence and His lead, that we'll hear His voice today. Lord God, thank You for being here with us. We know that we bring You with us because You're in our hearts. You're always present, but You're especially within our very beings as we honor and love You and have served You as Your children. We're thankful for, as we come together, that we're able to sense Your presence in a very special way. We ask that You'll just have Your will in our lives today. Speak to our hearts. Open our hearts to Your truth, Lord, we pray. Give us the courage to implement what You have for us, and may You be honored in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's praise His holy name.
Oh God, Most High, Almighty King, the champion of heaven, Lord of everything. You fought, You got, death lost its sting, and standing in Your victory we see. Chains that held our captive soul. You have broken the chains and used them on Your foes. All Your enemies are bound, they tremble at the sound of Your name. Jesus, You have broken the chains. Captivity held captive by the risen One, and in the name of God's great Son, we claim the mighty victory we won. You have broken the chains that held our captive souls. You have broken the chains and used them on Your foes. Your enemies are bound, they tremble at the sound of Your name. Jesus, You have broken the chains. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lie, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. You've got pain, He's a pain taker. You feel lost, He's a way maker. You need freedom for savings, He's a prison-shaking savior. You've got chains, He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking. Savior, you got chains. He's a chain breaker. You believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. You believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got faith, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunity to just lift up our needs to you and just know that you are hearing our prayers. We think of all the needs that are represented in this body and this family. And Lord, we just ask for your intervention, that you will break any chains that are holding us down, that you will just touch and heal as only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for your will to be accomplished in our lives. For those who are just struggling with sickness that are at home, we just lift them up to you, Lord. For those who have illnesses that are beyond just a regular cold, we lift them up to you, Lord. For any healing that takes place, we know that you are the great physician. We're thankful for our doctors. You've given those wonderful people to us to benefit from. But, Lord, you are the great physician, and we trust in you. We're thankful, Lord, that we can lift up family as we mourn losses of those who've gone before us. We just think of the Cools as they are just remembering and honoring, but also mourning, Lord. We just ask for your blessing to be upon them. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to give back just a little bit. As you have blessed us so much, may it be our joy to give to you. We pray a blessing on this offering time as well. For all those offerings that have come in so faithfully, Lord, bless your people. And for those things which we have in store, those plans that we have in motion to accomplish your work, we just pray that you will continue to guide and bless, and that things will happen according to your perfect time. Sometimes I get impatient, Lord, and you know that. And I just trust you. It's your timing, Lord, and that's good enough for me. We just pray your blessing on each and every giver in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you as you give and honor the Lord with your offerings this morning. And we have the online option, of course, as we always do. But we also have the plates here. You're welcome to give.
When I'm walking through the valley, your presence is around me. Nothing stands between me and my God. And the fear that was my prison is no longer where I'm living. 'Cause nothing stands between me and my God. There's no place I go that He is not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We'll be dancing through the darkness as we believe it. Every stronghold has to break at the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When the ground below is shaking, my joy cannot be taken, 'cause nothing stands between me and my God. So I'm looking to Jesus through a veil that's torn to pieces, 'cause nothing stands between me and my God. No, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We'll be dancing through the darkness, 'cause we believe it. Every stronghold has to break at the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Watch the lies break off. Watch the enemy flee. Watch the walls come crumbling down when the people of God sing. There's a heavenly roar. Every heart set free. Hear the chains of shame hit the ground when the people of God sing. Watch the lies break off. Watch the enemy flee. Watch the walls come crumbling down when the people of God sing. Hear the heavenly roar. Every heart set free. Chains of shame hit the ground when the people of God sing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We'll be dancing through the darkness, 'cause we believe it. Every stronghold has to break at the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. We'll be dancing through the darkness, 'cause we believe it. Every stronghold as we break at the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. On a hill far away, rugged cross, the end of my suffering, pain, and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was saved. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last tie down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. The world has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence here, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just minister here in a mighty way, God. I pray that you would just bless everyone in attendance, either in person or at home online, God. I pray that you would just minister to them, Lord. We just pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. That, Lord, we would just surrender ourselves completely to you, God. And those things, Lord, that we haven't given up yet, Lord, I pray that you would help us do that and give us the strength just to give to you, God, and allow you to minister to us in that way, God. We pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon this community, God. We pray that people would just be able to come to you in a powerful way, God, and they get to know you, Lord. We ask for all these things, Lord. We pray for a great week, and as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, Lord, and we just remember to be so thankful for you having died on the cross for us, God. We just thank you for that, God. Now, Lord, I would pray that you would be with the rest of this service, Lord. Let us receive what it is that you would have us hear and apply it to our lives. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Oh, it's a little bit warmer today, isn't it, than it was last week? This is downright cold. And so, kind of nice in that regard. So, just a couple of announcements here. We're going to have our Christmas program. We'll be on Sunday, December 11th at 10 a.m. And so those of you that are in some practices there are some practices that will be on November 20th and December 5th and December 10th. Just take a look at that at the in your bulletin there. There is not going to be any High Point nor dinner church this Wednesday. Just so that you know that as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday. And our last meeting for High Point will be November 30th for the kids there. On that, then we're going to take a break through the holidays there, and we'll get back up at it in the beginning of the new year. Well, somewhere around the new year there after that point. There's a community Thanksgiving dinner here. Charlene, again, is... Once she is hosting it, So if you can help or attend, that would be great. It's at the Epic there. If you want to help or serve, help serve or donate, just talk to Charlene. I'm back with that. There is going to be a Pop Bless on Sunday, and it's December 4th. Okay, that there's going to be a Pop Bless, because if we show up on December 6th, on Tuesday the 6th, there with a chicken cabbage salad or something like that, there's not going to be anybody there to get in. You may not even be able to get into the door. Who knows? Yeah, we'll be good on that. So Sunday, December 6th, or 4th. I just did it again. Oh. But anyway, and then we're going to have the salt for the seniors there. Will be Friday, December 9th at the Trinity Bakery. Hey, we're having a good time talking about some testimonies and different things there. So if you guys can make it on Friday the 9th for the seniors there, Friday the 9th at 2 p.m. at Trinity Bakery, and Charlene is so nice and hosting us there for that. That's just an awesome time. There's also, as you can read in the bulletin there, there's nominating ballots for our board election. So if you are a member, please grab one of those at the desk there and nominate that and bring it back. Nominate somebody to be on the board. I think we have one position on the board that needs to be elected at our annual business meeting at the end of January. So help us with that. Be great. And we need those nominating ballots back by December 18th. Okay? All right. Thank you. For Kids Church. There. For Miss Elise is going to be taking care of Kids Church this morning. So if you guys want to head on out there, and that'll be a wonderful time. So with that, Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor Doug. Are you all ready to celebrate Thanksgiving with family this week? Amen. We have a bunch coming to join us in our small home, and we're finding ways to pack and stack and place and push and all that stuff, finding little nooks and crannies for everybody. So it'll be great having the grandkids along. My sister and her husband, my parents will be here. It's gonna be a pretty good time. So, I was asked, I think it was yesterday, just a real quick question, and I didn't have a response. And I think it's going to connect a little bit to where I'm at with giving thanks to God for all his goodness. But I was asked if I had three wishes, what would I wish for? And I didn't really know how to respond to that. I was like, man, I haven't thought of that for years and years and years. Back in the day, I think I would have probably said as a kid, the latest gaming system would have been awesome, which would have been the Atari. No, actually, I think Nintendo was out when I had some interest there. My best friend had me over for a sleepover, and we watched Silver Spoons. For those of you, that's going to date me a little bit. And Ricky Schroeder was the key kid on that show. So we watched Silver Spoons, and we thought we'd be really, really smart about it, and we'd record it on cassette tape. So we did, and then after we watched the program, we went in his bedroom and listened to it and had a good laugh. Yeah, pretty sad. But he had a Nintendo system, and so I remember playing that game with the Mario and all that, and so I'm thinking, man, I probably would have said the latest gaming system back when I was a kid. And as I got older, of course, I got more and more into hunting, and I probably would have wanted the greatest, latest rifle with the best scope available, with a red dot in the middle, turn on the switch and it's right there so you can always see it. As I got older, I might have actually said, the greatest brand new four-wheel drive pickup with a 350 engine, gas hog, who cares? Gas is only 80 cents a gallon. And I just fill my tank at the farm anyway. All you farm kids, anybody? But you know, honestly, the thing that went through my mind was that I probably asked to be a better father and a better husband and a better pastor. That's probably where I would have answered honestly when asked the question. Because really, as I've gotten older, as I've experienced more of life, I've come to realize it's less and less about me and more about him and the people who are around me that I love. And if I could pour more love into the others of my own life, I think that's like the greatest wish come true there is. And I say that with sincerity because I can do better. I don't need to ask for a wish to come true. I just need to pray for God to give me the strength and the courage to walk as he walked. Amen? And the reason we can do that is because of his love for us. And so as we prepare our hearts for Thanksgiving, you'll find this to be true in your life, that you're going to be more and more thankful for God as you continue to walk with him. And so I want to look at Psalm 103 with you, verses 1 through 5, because I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to explain why it's true. Some of you might know, some of you may not. But this has probably been the most difficult year of my entire life. It has been extremely difficult. And yet so much joy has been experienced, so much love and faithfulness from God, even in spite of the challenges that have been in my life. And yet there's times where I have to say to myself, praise the Lord. I have to tell myself, be thankful. I have to remind myself, you know what, this is hard, but God is good. And so no matter what you're facing today, maybe it's extremely difficult, maybe it's actually been going quite well, and you're like, whew, what a relief. You know, all the Vikings fans are feeling pretty good so far, right? It's like, wow, this is incredible. What is this feeling I have? I almost feel confident, but I hate to really go all out and say I'm really confident they're going to win another game, right? Yeah, Cowboys are going down today, in case you're just wondering. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is, as we walk in faith, we find ourselves more and more joy-filled and extremely fulfilled through the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. But sometimes we have to tell ourselves in the midst of chaos and difficulties, hey, stop and praise him. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. I need to tell myself, as David did, praise the Lord. I mean, there's things going on, you know, Saul's trying to kill me, you know, I've had sin in my life, I've lost a child that was a judgment of God. I mean, there's a lot going on in the lives of people in the Old Testament, and David has to tell himself, praise the Lord. And I get that. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember his benefits. Remember the things that we're thankful for, and that's what the challenge is for us today. What are the benefits? Well, he lists some that actually are very applicable for us who are living in this age of grace that started with Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who forgives all your sins. That's a good reason to praise God, amen? I mean, not just some of your sins, he forgives all your sins. And this is David expressing his thanks and his praise to the living God of his day, who the sacrifice once and for all that was to come had not yet come. And yet he can say, he forgives my sins. So David, before Christ, is thankful for forgiveness of sins. That's pretty amazing and powerful, and we'll get into that a little bit more. And another one, he heals your diseases. Hallelujah. I still remember praying for a healing touch of God, and I didn't even really care. I was sitting probably, you know, about where Tom and Mary Lee are right now, in my home church. That's about the area where my family usually sat. And I'm sitting there, and I have this pounding headache, and pastor wants to pray for those who are needing a touch. And I'm just sitting there, and the head's just pounding, and he's calling for us. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going up there. It's just a dumb headache. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you're like, yeah, so it's no big deal. Who cares? It's just a dumb headache. And so I'm sitting there. I'm a teenager. I'm just being whatever. And God convicts me, and I'm like, well, come on, Lord. Give me a break. It's just a headache. And I literally went forward in a huff. It's kind of like, fine. And I get up there, and a couple of the deacons are up there to help pastor pray, and I'm just standing there. This is so stupid. Can't believe God won't let me just sit there. Fine. What's your need? Oh, I got a headache. I was really full of faith. Right? So they did their prayer. Glad that's over with. I go back and I sit down. What a great testimony. Right? And I know I've shared this with you before. As the pastor was doing his message, and I'm trying to somewhat follow along because, you know, you're supposed to do that in church. I realized I didn't have a headache. And I cannot tell you to this day when it left. What happened? I'm like, and I'm sitting there, all of a sudden I just like, I have no idea what the pastor said from that point on because I'm dumbfounded. I'm like, my headache's gone. What in the world? Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, God, for healing my headache. I know I was wrong. You know how teenagers are, right? All of you teenagers, say amen. Come on. So, listen, God can heal your stubbed toe and remove cancer. I think that's something to be thankful for. Will he do that? No, not every time. And we can get into some of the discussions about why that may or may not be. But for now, I want you to embrace this reality that he can heal you. Be thankful. He is able. Amen. Who redeems your life from the pit. The pit is an expression of hell, by the way. He's redeeming you from the punishment of judgment for eternity. And what does he do? He crowns you with love and compassion. He places his love and compassion upon you, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. That's a pretty good reason to give thanks to God. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's pray. And let's break some of this stuff down. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving me. I don't deserve it. Thank you for loving all of us. None of us really do. And yet, you love so wonderfully. You love when we think we're not lovable. You care for our needs when we sometimes don't. You go above and beyond, even when we're not willing to walk beside you. Lord, I just pray that we will be reminded of all the reason to be thankful. Yeah, this life sometimes really stinks. Things happen that are no fun. They're challenging, they're difficult, they're sometimes overwhelming, and yet we have such reason and benefit in serving you to give thanks. May we be reminded today that this is not our home. We have so much more to look forward to with you. May we be reminded to give thanks, to praise you. Speak to our hearts, speak to mine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to just cover fairly fast, we'll see. I don't want to make promises I can't keep, amen. But I want to cover 5 reasons that David points out for giving praise to God. And really, it is a reason for giving thanks. The first one is already, I mean, we broke it down already somewhat, but number one, he forgives your sins. Isn't that pretty awesome? He forgives your sins. Once and for all, it's just an amazing thing. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 10, it says this, "The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." Now, to truly embrace this and to grasp what's being said here is that the things that David is expressing thanks for were accomplished on the cross. The atonement that he did and sacrificed in the temple under the authority of the high priest was to only hold back judgment for one more year. It was to do the religious right thing, to bring the animal sacrifice on behalf of his sins, and everyone did this religiously through the centuries until the one sacrifice that was perfect and for all was accomplished. And so while we look at this and say, well, wow, David's giving thanks for his sins being forgiven, I didn't know that was possible back in the day. It wasn't. Except through the atoning sacrifices to hold back judgment for one more period of time, and then they did it again, and they did it again, and they did it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and you get where I'm going, right? And then one day, John the Baptist, who's doing the baptizing, calling people to repentance, sees his cousin walking along the shoreline and says to everybody, "Hey, look, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. The one who is going to die for all sin. Jesus Christ died for Adam's sin. And every sin that was accomplished from that day forth, and all sin that will be accomplished from this day forth, he died once for all." Isn't that an amazing, wonderful truth? Wow. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." We can be joyfully exuberant and thankful and happy and praising God for the truth that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world is our sacrifice. How many times in my ministry over the last 30 years have I heard people say, "I'm not worthy to be forgiven. You don't know what I've done." I've heard it, if not 100, if not 1,000 times. Now, I'm sure it's not 1,000. But I've heard it so many times, I can't tell you the number. And my response every time when someone actually says those words to me is, "Me too." What do you mean? You don't know what I've done. Yeah, you don't know what I've done. Well, I'm sure you're not as bad a sinner as I am. I'm saying, well, you know, that's the thing. It doesn't matter. We're all sinners that need a Savior. And God has promised to forgive you as he has forgiven me. I'm so thankful that he forgives my sin. I no longer walk in a place of judgment, but I walk in his grace. I would love to tell you that I will never, ever sin again. Is that even possible? You know, that's a great debate. We could actually talk about that in a real heart-to-heart way. And I would have to venture to say on one side, yes, it is possible. Through the power of God who is in you, it is possible to not sin. And yet, you are human, and you are selfish and full of pride. Oh. Now, if you die to yourself every single moment of your day, you can actually make it through the day without sinning. Isn't that great news? The problem is you're too selfish to die every day Because if you think you have a right to be angry over this, that, or the other thing, and you fall into a place of sin, but here's the cool factor, you are forgiven. You stand in his grace, not his judgment. Back in the day, there was a teaching that would say, if you don't ask forgiveness for your sins and Jesus comes and the rapture occurs, you're going to miss the rapture. You're going to be left behind because you cussed. That's heresy. Now, if you willfully, intentionally, rebelliously turn and walk away from God as one who is saved, then you have committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and you won't be sorry. And there is no forgiveness for that. But even though you're not supposed to sin anymore, amen, it's a pretty good chance you will before you die. But you stand in his grace, not his judgment. You have an intercessor standing before the Father who is saying on behalf of the accuser, who is the devil, the Satan, the one who wants to throw you into the pit with him, he is going to be accusing you, and Jesus says, no. My blood covers that one. That's mine. Can't touch. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you to do better tomorrow than you're doing today in your walk with Jesus. I want to challenge you to know him better tomorrow than you do today in your walk with Jesus. I want to encourage you that you can be a better husband, that you can be a better father, that you can be a better whatever your occupation is as a follower of Christ. You can improve your ability to withstand temptation. Amen. But the good news, he died once and for all. That means he died for all the sins from the beginning of time and all sins that will be accomplished at the end of time. And those who come to him in his saving grace to accept that sacrifice as for themselves in accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, to follow God, to allow for him to be the one that does the changing from the inside out, that miraculous, wonderful thing called the born-again experience, will be forgiven, and so we can be thankful for that. Hallelujah. All right, he heals your diseases. That's a good news statement right there. John chapter 14, verse 10. Let's go there. John chapter 14, verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So Jesus is explaining to his disciples that they've seen him, they've seen the Father. Believe in me. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So Jesus is accomplishing miracles, and he says to his disciples, this was for a reason above and beyond what you actually thought it was. It wasn't just for the sake of doing a healing, it was to show you that I am from the Father. And then he says this in verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Wow! If we love Jesus and we follow him, that means we will also be able to accomplish amazing things. For what purpose, what reason? Well, let's look and see what's being said here. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You can do greater things than Jesus accomplished through faith to bring glory to the Father. Hallelujah. You may ask me for anything in my name. Well, let's get back to that. And I will do it. Lord Jesus, I need $1 million. Amen. Right? That's how it works? What? Come on. Lord, I need that brand new 2023 diesel one ton. Nobody needs a new Ford, I'm sorry. I drive a Ford right now, so I shouldn't say anything. You know, it's important to understand that Jesus does have the ability to heal all disease. But he doesn't heal all disease. He has a rhyme and a reason. You know, I was thinking about this, just trying to put my wrap my brain around some thoughts that go along with, why doesn't he always heal? Why do we sometimes go through sickness and then finally, after being sick for a period of time, we are free from it, whether it's through surgery or a miraculous touch? And there's so many ways we could look at that. But maybe it's God's will for you to sit in a hospital and give testimony to that nurse that's giving care. Maybe the reason you're sick is so that she can be saved. Well, God would never do that. Well, why wouldn't he? He actually had a man born blind for the very reason of showing the glory of God to his disciples. So that he would be healed in their midst. And show that he is from the Father, as he says once again here. There are times we go through challenges and struggles in life, and there's a greater reason. And we believe this, and yet we don't like it. We love it, but we hate it. God works together for good. What? All things. If you love him, if you're called according to his purpose, you may go through the most difficult thing you've ever faced in your entire life, and God is saying, it's my will. You're exactly where I want you to be. And you are going to do something for my purpose that you may not even understand, but it's for the glory of the Father. It will be accomplished just as I have written. And that's how Jesus ministered on this earth. Everything he does is according to the will of God. Jesus had said that those who have faith in him will do even greater things. And he says that if you ask anything in Jesus' name, in my name, he's going to do it. But you have to understand the truth that Jesus' name means the Father's will be done. John chapter 14, verse 10, it says, the Father's words are the words that Jesus shared. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you are not my own. It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. In other words, I have never said anything outside of the Father's will, and I never will. I've never done anything outside of the Father's will, and I never will. Verse 13 through 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name, is to say as the Father's will. Well, how do you know this is true? Because Jesus never does anything outside of the Father's will. He never says anything outside of the Father's will. And he then wraps it up in this wonderful, neat little statement, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. It's not about you. There's a greater purpose here. Even when people are healed, than the healing itself. And Jesus is trying to express that truth to his disciples, hoping that they hear and understand. Now I'm going to real quickly read a few verses. They'll go up on the screen. I have them written down here for the sake of time. John 6, verse 38, it says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. John 5, verse 19, it says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You're starting to see the pattern. John 5, verse 30, by myself I can do nothing. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 7, verse 17, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. All of these verses verify and clarify that he can heal all diseases and he will heal every disease he wills. And so that is another reason to give thanks. It's interesting. I was very ignorant about the truth of God's word as a teenager. I did not comprehend or grasp that when God speaks what he wants to do in a miraculous healing touch, he's going to do if we simply follow his command. Going back to my illustration and my testimony of my headache, whose will was it for me to be healed? It was God's will. It certainly wasn't mine. I could care less. Whose faith was it that accomplished the great healing? It wasn't mine. I suppose you could argue the pastor or the deacon. I can see that. But let's back it up and realize and recognize it was God that says, hey, silly boy, get up off your seat and go up and get prayed for because I want to touch you. I want to heal your headache. And I did what I was asked to do obediently like a child, went forward and I was healed. Why? Because God heals all disease, even a silly little headache. I want to encourage you when you're praying, ask him what he wants to do. And you're like, well, that's just silly. If I'm sick, of course he wants to heal me. Really? Because if that's the case, you will be healed every single time. I don't know about you, but as far as I know, God's the big guy that can do anything. For some of you, this seems controversial, but it's not. It's very scriptural. God will do whatever he wants to. Are you going to stop him? I'm not. Can the devil stop him? Well, that's laughable. No demonic spirit can stop him. God could do absolutely anything he wants. So why don't we ask him what he wants? Why don't we do that? I'm sincerely asking because this is the way I pray. God, what do you want to do? Well, if you had some kind of scriptural basis for that, I would probably listen. Jesus, how should we pray? Teach us, will you? Okay, guys, listen up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's praise his holy name. Amen? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You mean there's no debates in heaven? There's no arguments in heaven? There's no lack of faith in him? Okay, let's move on. You might be shocked and amazed when you're sitting there in your prayer time and God says, hey, would you go over there and pray for that guy in the wheelchair? I want to heal him right now. God, I was just praying for my meal. But it's my will. You want to see miracles? Start praying for people at the gas station, the restaurants, and the streets. And don't just make up a prayer that you think is awesome. Actually ask God. Or at least listen for his voice. You might be surprised that he's trying to get your attention, but you're not paying attention. And he wants to do a miracle, but you don't see miracles today. Why? Because it's only the saints that gather in church. And the reason Jesus did the miracles was to show the unbeliever that he comes from the Father. I expect to hear some testimonies of miracles that probably won't happen here, but they're going to happen out there. As you listen for his voice and pray his will accomplished and he heals the disease. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Number three, he redeems your life from the pit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood,
the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed through his blood. He has made known the mystery of his will purposed in Christ. And it's interesting that God kept that hidden for so long. Even angels long to look into those things, by the way. Lord, what are you going to really do? I mean, what's this all about? We don't understand. Well, I'm not telling. It's not time. Peter says, surely you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're right, Peter, but don't tell anybody just yet. Shh. But now the mystery has been fully revealed. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and he is the Lamb who was slain for us. He is the fulfillment of the Passover Lamb in our time for this age of grace. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Wow. We have been redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was important. The law was absolutely necessary to show that we need a Savior, that we are sinners that fall short. We cannot save ourselves. Only the perfect sacrifice can. And so the law accomplished what it needed to, and then Jesus comes along as the perfect one, the one without sin, born from a virgin, and he is raised up in a home where he does not sin as a child, he does not sin as a teenager, and he doesn't sin as a young man. I mean, whoa, that's incredible. I mean, 30 years he lives without sin. And fulfilled the law by becoming a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without blemish. Only the sacrifice of one who'd never sinned, who was absolutely without flaw, could accomplish and fulfill the law of God. And it's interesting when Abram was told about the promise that through his seed all nations would be blessed. There was a covenant between him and the Father, and it was the Father who walked through the blood sacrifice as they made the covenant. It wasn't Abraham. It was the lamp that went through as a representative of Father God through his Holy Spirit. And what that covenant said even back then was, if this covenant is ever broken, you may do this to me. What is this? Take my blood. Shed my blood. You may take my life if this covenant is broken. And guess what? The covenant was broken, not by God, but by man. Of course, the law was later given through Moses, and it only declared in detail how far we fall short. But Jesus fulfilled it. He redeems us from the pit, from the eternal separation from God and hell. And hell, by the way, is not the end. It is going to be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. What else do we give thanks and praise to God for? Well, he forgives our sins, he heals our disease, he redeems our life from the pit, and he crowns you with love and compassion. James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Oftentimes we have this picture of royalty when we see the word crown. And I think that's just bad exegesis from years ago. I can't exactly say why it was that way, but the crown that Paul normally is addressing, if not always, is a crown that he's very familiar with, and that was from the games that were played in Rome. And those games, using the term, evolved into what we call the Olympics today. And so if you won the games, you got a crown, and there was leaves and flowers on it, and it wasn't anything special because it's going to wilt, it's going to die, it's not going to last forever, but it signified victory. Only the one who won got to wear the crown. And it really makes a lot of sense when you put it all together and you realize the crown we give will never fade. The crown we get will always be vibrantly wonderful and true, and it's not going to be like the crowns of this world, which are simply just leaves and flowers that wilt. The crown of righteousness is victory. We win, hallelujah, we win. It's not about being royalty. It's not about pride and arrogance and, oh, look at me, I'm a prince. No, it's about, I won a battle. It's called life, and I only was able to do so because of Jesus Christ. We are going to receive a crown of life signifying our victory through Him who loves us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, When the chief shepherds appear, chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Isn't that cool? Your victory crown isn't going to wilt. It's going to be preserved forever and ever and ever in eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Why should I? Well, he forgives your sins. He heals your disease. He redeems you from the pit, and he crowns you with love and compassion. You will be victorious through Jesus Christ. And finally, kind of puts an icing on the cake, if you will, he satisfies your desires. Well, that's pretty awesome. Because we got desires, don't we? I mean, we always do. I couldn't resist yesterday. We got some caramel puff popcorn. Oh my. They say that sugar is as addictive as cocaine. I don't know, but I think caramel puff popcorn is. I couldn't stop. And my desire was being met by popcorn. We ate a whole bag. I think me and our special, wonderful young lady over here probably took out 3/4 of that at least. I think she took more than I did. I really do. That's my story. So if I follow God, I get caramel-covered popcorn puffs. Well, maybe that's not exactly what he's saying here. There's a trick to this. There are strings attached to the promises of God. So let's look at a couple things. John 7, verse 37 through 39. And we're going to be wrapping this up real soon, and everybody is so excited, so glad, satisfying your desire to not be here forever. John 7, verse 37, I'm almost there. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay, so if you're thirsty, the way to be satisfied is through the Holy Spirit. And that comes through the salvation experience. It comes through the born-again experience. It comes through the Holy Spirit's dwelling within you. You will not satisfy that thirst any other way. And everyone's trying. They're trying to fulfill it through religion. It fails. They try to fulfill it through other experiences. Love, just like the Hallmark movie channel, fails. They try to fulfill it through family, bearing children, having grandchildren. It fails. Now, those are good things. Love, family. And yet they do not satisfy the thirsting of the soul. Only one thing will, and that's Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 35, backing up just a little ways. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and if he believes in me, he will never be thirsty." Just another expression of the same truth. He is the one that satisfies the longings of your heart. Just as David expressed in Psalm 103, we can still see that as being true, that he is the only one who can truly satisfy. You're hungry? Eat some of his bread. You're thirsty? Drink his living water. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the trick. If you like the term better, that's the key. I will satisfy your heart's desire, God says. And you say, "Woohoo! I got a lot of desire." I think you misunderstand, son. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then I will satisfy your heart's desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One of the greatest amazing ways that I've experienced that as being true, outside of the salvation experience, outside of being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which is real and it is something for today, by the way, outside of the wonderful experience of God's grace in touches throughout my life, the thing that really blew me away was that I had no idea I would enjoy doing what I'm doing right now. I had no idea. I told God, now you'll have to take this with about a bucket of salt, okay? Because I was a little bit on the rebellious side at the moment. God called me to preach the Word of God, and I said no. And then he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I don't even like to be around people." Well, that's a problem. I was shy, recluse. Give me a mountain and a hillside and a cabin, I'm good. I don't need people. I mean, that was my attitude at the time. I had no idea that deep within me was this deep desire to preach the Word of God. I had no idea that there would be joy in that, that there would be fulfillment in that. That's my testimony from my call. What's yours? God will satisfy your heart's desire, and you may not even know what your desire is. But as you seek Him, and you delight yourself in the Lord and you realize He is it. He's the number one. He's the purpose. He's a reason for living. He is everything to me. Suddenly He starts answering prayers that you haven't even yet prayed, and He's putting things into motion to fulfill your deepest desires that you didn't even know you had. And you find yourself just smiling from ear to ear because you didn't even know how much peace and joy there would be in following God and experiencing His delight. Some of His delight is things that we don't even think are important. I mean, the deal I made with God is, God, I can't be like these people. And I pointed to all the pastoral type of people in my class. I was a college student at the time. And I was like, I can't be like him. I can't be like him. I can't be like her. And I was naming the people to Him. And He said, I don't want you to be them. I want you to be you. And that just blew me away. I was like, what? I thought to follow God, I had to be someone different. And that was it was enlightening for me. So I said to God, I said, okay, if I can be me in the ministry, yes, I'll do it. And I've had peace ever since. Even though my girlfriend said she'd never marry a pastor, I said yes, knowing I might lose her. Not realizing she was told by God she would marry a pastor, and she said yes, knowing she would probably lose me. And here we are today, after 32 years of marriage. Because God will fulfill the desires of your heart. Would you stand with me as we close? Praise the Lord, O my soul. He forgives my sins. He heals my disease. He redeems me from the pit. He crowns me with love, compassion, and He satisfies my desires. That's a promise for David, and it's a promise for you. Embrace it. And as we go into this time of celebration of thanksgiving, give praise to the Lord for all His goodness. Lord, we're so thankful. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for being our Redeemer, our Savior. And yet somehow, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, You also promise to be a friend. And that's pretty crazy. You laugh with me. Sometimes You laugh at me. And it's justified. And we can have a hoot, but we can also cry together. You're never far. The only time You ever are far, it's all in my head because I'm the one not thinking of You. And Lord, I'm so thankful. I praise Your holy name. We praise Your holy name. As we go into this week of Thanksgiving, we pray for safe travels for all the family who will be on the roads. It's a dangerous time of travel. So we pray for protection. We pray for moments of inspiration for those that gather around the table that aren't believers. May this be their time to accept You as Savior. May this be a glorious moment in the families that gather of recognizing Psalm 103. We pray Your blessing on each and every one as we go in Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.